Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Giving him a little bit of leeway and time to work his way through it, I think that makes a lot of sense. And I try to remember over and over that, you know, the things we think about in April and the things that we talk about in April, like so oftentimes by June, let alone August, seem so remote. So that's hopefully how I'm looking at this, you know, rough three starts that you look up and it's clearly a bad patch, and then he got going again and pitched really well.
Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. So when would he be scheduled to pitch again, if that's the case? If he pitched on Tuesday, so it's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Sunday.
And who are they playing? The Marlins. Could that solve his issues?
Maybe. Nothing like
would
Tim
you give
Anderson
another
at
run
the plate.
No,
maybe
reason?
Jake Berger could ruin another season in Chicago, send Kyle Hendricks off to wherever. Wouldn't that be something? Now, that's interesting, because that would mean they're giving him a chance at Wrigley Field to resurrect his season. That probably will do that. But I don't think we're exaggerating here. And here's a couple of reasons why before we get to the phone calls, because people definitely want to weigh in. Kyle Hendricks, as I said, has given up 7 home runs in 17 innings. Last year, he started late, but it was his 10th start before he gave up his seventh home run. And it's not all just about giving up home runs. You can just see he's lacking something, lacking command. And, Mully, he's given up, besides just the home runs, I mean, it's the earned runs. And it's at a historic pace. According to ESPN stats and info, Kyle Hendricks is the first pitcher in MLB to allow 5 or more earned runs in his first 4 starts of the season since 2019.
Wow.
The first Cub pitcher to do this since earned runs became official in 1913. This is a bad start. We're not exaggerating. Nobody wants to point out the deficiencies of the nicest guy in the Cub clubhouse, of the most consummate professional you could imagine. This is no fun in doing that, but it's also there, and the Cubs cannot ignore it.
All right. We are going to be giving away 3 pairs of tickets to see the Cubs take on the aforementioned Marlins on Friday. That's this Friday, April 19th. The game's at 1:20 at Wrigley Field. Stay tuned, and you can win your pair. That's an awesome giveaway.
It's a great giveaway. It's also a fascinating team to go see in Chicago, given that the left side of their infield knows Chicago pretty well. Jake Berger, Tim Anderson.
Talking about the Marlins.
Yeah. Sure.
Boy, they're not doing very well.
No, they're not.
And weren't they a playoff team last year?
Yes, they were.
Yeah, it's not too good. I believe the Sox are the only team worse than them, right? They're that bad.
Boy.
That's not good.
That's really bad.
If you're even mentioned in line with the Chicago White Sox, even if it's, hey, they got a couple of guys who played there, that's not good.
Wow.
That's how bad things have gotten in Chicago. 312-644-6767. We got a lot of people want to check in. We'll start with Chris. Chris is in Wilmette. Hey, Chris.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for having me on. The one thing I noticed about Hendricks that he seems to have gone away from, and we know he can't fireball the ball, but his two-seam fastball, he used to run it inside on the left-handers and bring it across the inside of the plate. He hasn't had command of that pitch. I don't see anything wrong with his other pitches other than if he can't get his two-seamer across and in on the hands of a right-handed hitter, they're not going to bite on the other stuff. They're going to sit and wait on a fat fastball that's not moving, and that seems to me to be what the problem is. To have command of that one particular pitch will make all the other pitches significantly better. I don't know what you think about it or if you've observed that, but I'd like to hear your comments on that.
That's a good point, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
You know, here's the thing. We call it a fastball. You know, this is a player that has never overpowered anyone. And that's one of the reasons I believe they were willing to give him a contract and trust in his ability to command. That's what the difference is with him than a lot of players. He's much more of a painter, of a guy looking for a masterpiece.
He's a finesse pitcher.
Overwhelming it.
He's always been a finesse pitcher.
Always.
That's why he's here. That's why they picked up the option. That's why he's making $16.5 million this year, and he's the longest tenured Cub. His ability to overcome these kind of blips and also regain command, and maybe it is a two-seam fastball. Maybe it's something else. Typically with Kyle Hendricks, though, he has pointed out mechanical glitches that he's identified that are contributing to his lack of effectiveness. Maybe it's as simple as that. Let's hope so. Tommy Hotovy may have something to say. I think Kyle Hendricks probably knows what he still has and what the problem is right now. I would just give him 10 days to figure it out. In Arizona, away from the team, fresh start, come back. And I think mentally, he's one of these guys that can handle that. You wouldn't want to do this with a young pitcher. You wouldn't want to just send him out to, you know, an enforced vacation, maybe send him back down. You want to be more careful with his psyche. With Kyle Hendricks, I think you're careful and respectful because of what he's accomplished, but I don't think you're worried about damaging his confidence necessarily.
312-644-6767. Jimmy G is in McHenry. Is that Jimmy Football?
Hey, Jimmy G.
Hello?
Yeah, Jimmy Garoppolo calling. This
is Philly, not Jimmy.
Oh, okay. It's Philly G?
That's okay. Yeah, Philly, I talked today. How you guys doing? I spoke to you before. I listen to your show all the time.
Yeah, thanks.
I'm 57 years old. I love Kyle Hendricks. I love it. Yesterday was a great ball game. You see the Cubs come back. They were down 4-1. Right. To come back, it was exciting. Their offense is obviously not the problem. Kyle Hendricks, you know, I remember when John Lester started having problems. When he started, John Lester, he's a finesse pitcher, as we know, with Kyle Hendricks. He doesn't throw hard. John Lester, Arrieta, those guys have a little more bite when they pitched. But you could tell when the time is coming, when these guys are done, when they're showing that it's that time. And yesterday's game, unfortunately, I know their pitching, their starting pitching's got some issues because of the injuries and things like that, but it's a long season. And four games in, he's gotten knocked around this bad. I don't know how you're going to fix that. I mean, the guy, I just hope that, and Alzolay, by the way, before I finish, I don't know what they see in this fellow. I mean, he's an average pitcher at best. They want him to be the closer, and this year's been what? I mean, yesterday we should have won this game. Yesterday, as tough as that's hard to say. I mean, that was a tough game to lose. And I would say to Jed Hoyer, if you're listening, take your car credit card and go buy some arms.
Thanks, Philly G. I think the fact that Kyle Hendricks has struggled maybe obscures the fact that they do have some arms. They do have, I think, an abundance of starting pitching talent. They do have, frankly, the only reason we're having this conversation and it's steered toward what do you do with Kyle Hendricks and how can you get him out of the way is because there are other pitchers like Ben Brown and Javier Assad and Jordan Wicks who have stepped forward and you trust. If you didn't trust those guys, you wouldn't necessarily be so willing to give Kyle Hendricks an extended vacation to figure it out.
I think that's fair.
You need help in the bullpen, but not the rotation.
Jeff is listening on the Odyssey app. Hey, Jeff, what's up?
Good morning, gentlemen. Two questions, one for both of you and one David specific. First thing, when Dustino asked about the Andrew Vaughn, I think the White Sox happened to Andrew Vaughn because if I I go back in my memory, I'm trying to think of anybody other than Frank Thomas, Robin Ventura, and Paul Konerko that were position players in the last 30 years that were either brought up through the system via trade or free agency that did anything like an all-star for that was better when they got here. So I'd like to know if you guys think of anybody else that's a position player in the last 30 years for the White Sox that played better once they got to the White Sox than those three. And for David, specific to you, how was peanut butter and waffles?
Well, you know, I did not try peanut butter and waffles, but I'm going to definitely get – I will definitely report once I do. I was disappointed because I did put the waffle in the toaster, my frozen waffles, and I went to get the peanut butter, and we were all out.
So you just poured peanut butter whiskey over it?
No, I did not. Just maple syrup.
Okay.
Very disappointing. A couple sliced bananas, some maple syrup. Yeah, I did not. I still
you
have to try.
You ran out of peanut butter.
Yes.
What kind of peanut butter do you get? Just out of curiosity. What's your favorite peanut
butter? It varies. I'm a Jiffy guy.
Yeah.
But my wife gets a lot of other kinds that are, you know.
What about the nut butters?
Organic this and organic that.
You don't like the crunchy.
I don't like the crunchy.
Yeah.
No, not a crunchy guy. Mm-mm.
What about the nut butters?
No.
No?
No.
But when you said
that your wife was picking some things up, yeah, I thought, because that's like a healthy, healthier alternative.
My wife will pick things up. Doesn't mean I have to eat everything in the house.
Okay. By the way, I think I have your coffee. I don't know if you have a real coffee.
No, I have mine. I have soy written on mine.
All right. Yeah. There's no soy written on mine, but it tastes like kind of a little sweeter than normal.
I really am pushing back to this whole idea. I'm being sort of typecast here.
Oh, that you like special
that I like strange things.
Yeah, no, I don't think you like strange things. I think you don't like some normal things. That's
okay.
I mean, I don't even like, you know, pancakes or French toast or what was.
Oh, I like French toast. Yeah, waffles.
Well, it gets a little too sweet.
I need to try
breakfast.
The peanut butter, but we were all out of peanut butter and fine now. We got more peanut butter in the house, but I just haven't had waffles because I don't eat waffles during the week. Just too much going on in the morning to get out of the house.
Yeah. No, it's hard to eat a waffle.
It'd be great to come in here one morning and have maybe waffles waiting for us.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen anytime
soon. Served during a break, maybe. Hint, hint.
Do you think the Sox have ruined Andrew Vaughn? Is that the idea?
I
think the problem is, like, when we were talking off the air about Andrew Vaughn and how you handle him, we were saying, well, whose bat needs to be in the lineup? And I think we agree that Aloy needs to be in the lineup. And Gavin Sheets has probably played well enough to be in the lineup. And we had a private conversation. Like, could you put Sheets at first base so that he – and, you know, because you really don't want to take –
Sheets and Aloy being in the lineup at the same time.
Out of right field because he's leading off for you. And we'll see if he can keep walking, but he's walked a lot. I just wonder, is Andrew Vaughn – you know, to me – Andrew Vaughn is almost in the Bien Attendi kind of role. Can you have him playing if they're not going to be hitting?
Well, put Gavin Sheets at first base, make Aloy your DH, and platoon Andrew Vaughn and Bien Attendi in left field.
But see, that's what I'm saying. It was the Sox that moved him into left field, and he didn't look very comfortable there.
But he played.
Well, he played there.
He got into the lineup, and you weren't complaining about his bat when he was playing left field. You were worried about his defense. I don't think it's an ideal situation, but what is ideal about a 2-14 start?
Yeah.
Desperate times call for desperate measures. Andrew Vaughn needs to be saved. He doesn't have any protection around him in the lineup. Not that that would make the difference.
He's
but
a click away.
It certainly doesn't help. Well,
do we have Pedro Fong? I don't know why.
He's a click away.
I don't know why I listen to him. Because honestly, more often than not, my blood pressure rises.
Need some clickbait then. Because
that's it.
We need some clickbait for Andrew Vaughn.
No. It has nothing to do with Eloy because Vaughn's playing time has nothing to do with Eloy Jimenez. It has everything to do with I'm going to give him an opportunity to settle down, get some good quality work before, during the game with Marcus and our hitting coaches, and just regroup. He's a tick away. When you look at his video, it's just one click away from where he needs to be.
Tick, click.
And they're making the necessary adjustments you know, to get him where he needs to be. And today's a good day for him to just take the day, whatever you need, however much work you need to do, go ahead and do it. But he's available for the game, and I will use him for a pinch hit appearance.
That was yesterday before the game to explain why Andrew Vaughn wasn't in the lineup and Aloy was back at DH.
I'd get him back in today. I'd play him both games.
And they're not related. And he did say tick, which is kind of a
second. At
first
he said tick.
But he then said click.
Yes. So he needs some clickbait.
Just so you know, as long as we're rhyming, it all makes me sick.
Okay. I think you speak for many. All he needs is just a click away. So click. Where's TMZ when you need him?
Where's the clicker when you need it? Rob's in Lyle. Hey, Rob.
Guys.
Hey, Rob.
Hey, I wanted to take a little different tact on the Hendricks discussion.
Okay.
Two things we know. One is, over the last 10 years, you've never heard Kyle Hendricks make an excuse. And the other is, you've got all-star pitchers in the majors this year complaining about the baseballs being slick. I wonder if his particular throwing motion and pitch selection is being affected by the baseballs, but he's just a stand-up guy and won't ever complain about it.
Boy, I respect where you're coming from, and I want to give him every benefit of the doubt, but 7 home runs in 17 innings doesn't really scream to me bad baseballs. That's just bad pitching. And I know that that's been a common complaint, or at least we've heard it a little bit louder this season, but I don't look at that as a reasonable explanation for how bad he has been. I wish it were as simple as that. I don't think that it is. And, you know, you look at it, previous caller had mentioned John Lester. Yeah. I referenced Jake Arrieta. When you go back and you look at when their decline began, their decline made the decision by the Cubs pretty easy. They were really bad at the end. So let's hope it doesn't get to that point, but it's trending in that direction.
Let's get to Crowley. He's Dustin's guy. He does the podcast with him, and always fun to talk to Crowley. He's got a solution. Hey, Crowley.
Hey, guys. How are you? Yep. Fly the W podcast. We got a new one that's going to be dropping tomorrow morning. But here's the solution here, man, guys, because we got a couple things. Number one, I hear people put him on the Phantom IL. Can't do that. Billy Epler just got in some big, big trouble from the Mets doing that. So you're not doing any phantom injury. He had no trainer coming out. No issue there. Number two, you guys say, okay, well, you know, send him to Arizona, a little vacation. He's got 5 years service time, so he's going to have to consent to that. They can't just send him to Iowa or anything like that. Me personally, what I'm taking a look at is I would send Daniel Palencia down, and then I would use Javier Assad as a piggyback for Hendricks. Don't let Hendricks go more than two times through the order and pray to God he doesn't give up more than 3 runs. That right now seems to me to be the best decision. You got 2 guys in this rotation right now with Hendricks and Wicks that are struggling to get through past 4 innings. And so you're going to need someone to be able to do some long relief, and you can't just rely on Drew Smyly all the time.
So, Crowley, let me get this straight. Let me recap it for you. Your advice to the Cubs to deal with Kyle Hendricks is prayer.
No, my advice is to do not let him go through the rotation more than twice. Have a long reliever. Have Javier Assad
willing
to cover 3 to 4 innings.
You're saying use him as an opener and then get to a bullpen game.
Well, right. You can use him for 3 to 4 innings on Kyle, not just an opener of 1 inning.
Right, but I mean, he got through the first inning without an issue. Maybe he can get through twice around, as you say. Okay. I suppose that's a way of dealing with it. I don't know how. I mean, it would depend on each situation. I mean, what you're basically talking about is keep him in the starting rotation, just give him a very quick hook and have someone ready to go.
Yeah.
By the third inning.
Ask him to get 6 outs instead of 18 or 15. 5 or 6 innings is what Kyle Hendricks should be giving you at the stage of his career, who he is and what he's getting paid. Crowley's suggesting, you know, 1 or 2 innings as an opener, perhaps. Not ideal.
Yeah, that's tough.
I can't wait to see how Dustin answers that in the Fly the W podcast tomorrow.
I've got a feeling there's going to be an argument.
Little buddy from the podcast.
Let's talk Bulls.
Well, we're going to bring in KC. We'll talk to KC Johnson next, our guy Mullin Hall on the Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
How are you feeling? We saw you scrimmaging over that, and do you plan to play?
I feel better, I would say. I feel good. Hopefully... the swelling, whatever, can continue to move in the right direction so I can hopefully can play tomorrow.
Mullin Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That's our guy KC Johnson getting all the answers as usual, talking to Io there, and KC joins us now on the Score hotline. You can read his stuff, NBC Sports Chicago. He's their fine Bulls reporter, and there's so much to talk about. I was saying to David, KC, this is weird. They got a play-in game tonight, and I don't feel the juice. I normally am very fired up for moments like this with the Bulls, but for some reason, I just don't have the same level of excitement. My fault, I guess. Are you getting that from people?
Well, I mean, part of it might be that it's going to end after our bedtime, Mully. I mean,
that's true.
No. It's been a pretty underwhelming season. You know, I will say this: they played a lot of dramatic games, but I think the fan base is more focused on big picture than actual. And this is generally speaking, this is not the entire fan base, but a big sentiment that I hear from is, you know, people focused on being stuck in the middle and the big picture. And so, you know, these exciting games and these strong performances in the clutch games and now this play-in game have left a lot, some segment of the fan base kind of just yawn, you know. So, but look, these play-in tournament games are great. I watched both the West games last night. I mean, there really is an NCAA tournament atmosphere to them. And I do believe, as usual, the United Center will be pretty rocking tonight. So,
what's your best educated guess as to whether Io DeSumo or Andre Drummond play tonight? And which guy do you think is more important to beating the Hawks?
Well, the second question, both questions are hard. And I've actually, if the Derrick Rose season has taught me one thing, it's that not predict injuries because it's just impossible. So I mean, just if you go off what happened this week, it doesn't look great for Drummond, but that doesn't mean he's not going to play. So that's why I don't like make predictions on that. I mean, just run through the facts though. Bulls were off Monday, but had an individual work day, and he tried to do some things individually and then had swelling off that kept him out of practice Tuesday. So that's just not trending well is the way I would say. With Io, it's trending a little bit the other way, but his injury was pretty significant. I mean, he's still not able to sprint at top speed with that deep thigh bruise. So they're both listed as questionable, which is 50-50 injury parlance. as for which one is more important, they really kind of both are. But if I had to pick one, I would say Io, just because of the way he's played against Atlanta this season and the way he's played against Trae Young historically, and his presence in the lineup against Trae Young would allow Alex to, you know, take some minutes on Trey, take some minutes on DeJounte Murray, take some minutes on Bogdanovich. I mean, Caruso, as we know, is just a madman and wants to guard whoever's got it going the most. But Drummond's played really, really well against the Hawks, and the Hawks are a very good offensive rebounding team. They do a lot of damage with second chance points. So not having both those guys, that would be a problem for the Bulls.
They, you know, the Bulls, as we know, need to control the three-point shooting of Atlanta. Atlanta, and you just mentioned like three guys right there, they can knock down a three. It is frightening to think of the number of threes they'll launch, and it comes down to the percentage they hit when you start thinking about how this one's going to go.
100%. And they get up a lot, and they just constantly put you in pick and roll and make you scramble out the three-point shooters if they don't get something off the initial action. I mean, that's all they do. I mean, they just keep coming at you. They take shots early in the shot clock. Those create long rebounds, which is why they are fourth in the league in second chance points. I mean, it's you know exactly what is coming tonight from them offensively. Now, defensively, they're not a good team at all. So you got to hope not only does DeMar do his typical damage, and, you know, he's been to the line 30 times in these three games against Atlanta, and DeAndre Hunter's a good defender. So, you know, he's been able to exploit that matchup and still do his thing. But you need DeMar to score. You need Kobe to have a big game offensively. So, you know, to me, it's going to be more of a shootout type game. I mean, that's Atlanta's style and really their best chance to win because they're not a good defensive team. But yes, controlling the three-point line, which the Bulls have been poor at most of the season, you know, they're 30th in three-point makes and no three 30th in three-point attempts allowed and 29th in makes. So that's gonna be a big part of tonight's game for sure.
Casey, you've watched this Bulls team all regular season long. You've watched a lot of basketball over the years. Can you get a read on this team in any given night? Will you be able to tell in the first quarter or the first half whether or not this is going to be a game that the Bulls are going to be in position to win?
I mean, you'll have a little bit of a feel, but no, the answer absolutely is no. I mean, this team has blown big leads and they've come back from 20-point deficits. So, you know, they're a very resilient team. They never feel like they're out of the game. They've proven in clutch games how elite they can be. Which obviously also has some outlier stuff. I mean, the clutch minute stats are loud because, you know, guys can miss shots from the other team and all that stuff. But to answer your question, absolutely not. I mean, I've had so many people that I know, either friends or people connected to the league, say, I'm not going to be surprised if the Bulls win by 15, and I'm not going to be surprised if the Bulls lose by 15. And that's where this team is at. I mean, we've seen it so many times, you know, the stirring victories over good opponents and then the home losses to the Detroit Pistons and shorthanded Washington Wizards. I mean, the evidence is there. So you've heard Billy Donovan talk all season about the lack of consistency, and that's where this team is at, and that's why this team is playing a 9-10 play-in game tonight.
And if they win it, they get the loser of the other game. And if they win that, then they get into a matchup with the Boston Celtics. So, it just feels like it's going to be difficult tonight, and it's a flip-a-coin game. Then it's going to be difficult again, and it's kind of, I think, the coin's already been flipped. And then if you get, I mean, someone steals your coin. If you get to Boston, you're just going to be broken. You're going to be heavier, kind of pants open up. Falling around your ankles, you're wandering the streets, you got very little hope.
Well, that got dark in a hurry. That got got dark in a hurry. And Rajon Rondo just announced his retirement, so he's not there to save you against Boston. But yeah, no, I mean, look, that's kind of the, getting back to the first question, that's kind of the fan base that I, you know, a loud segment of the fan base sentiment is like, what are we doing here? It's like, even if the Bulls win the play-in, they're facing the Boston Celtics in round one. And what's that going to be, a four-game sweep, maybe a gentleman's sweep like the Bucks were 2 years ago? And that's what a large segment of the fan base is focused on, is the bigger picture and the end game and kind of the futility of it all. Because, yes, that Boston matchup is not a good one for any team. But, I mean, you talk about three-point shooting. My goodness. I mean, if the Bulls were somehow to get in the first-round matchup with the Celtics, I mean, that's what they did in the three-game season series sweep, was just launch threes and make a lot of them, and Bulls had no answer for that. So, hey, we'll ride it out where it goes, and then we'll go to the exit meetings, and then we'll start writing our offseason pieces. That's how we roll.
Casey, the drama surrounding Billy Donovan and the flirtation, or the Kentucky speculation, manufactured or not, kind of overshadowed last week, I think, DeMar DeRozan expressing a desire to stay in Chicago, to work something out. It seemed like that was his intention. It seemed like that's what he wants to happen in the offseason. Question is, do you agree that he's going to be very willing to try to work something out? And is that good, and is that the best thing for the long-term future of the Bulls?
So as far as the first question, it's Adam, it's 1,000%. I mean, he has said those sentiments before. My goal with that sit down that I had with him in Detroit after a shoot around was kind of for him to expand upon why. And he went into great detail as to why, really for the first time. I mean, he has said some of those things before, but not to this level, in my opinion, not to this degree. And, you know, he's very content here. He likes the city. He likes his teammates. He likes his coaches. He likes management. He likes ownership. I mean, he went down the list, but the biggest thing to me, and he said this to me when we sat down early in the season in Indianapolis too, when he was about to pass Larry Bird on the all-time scoring list. He has a ton of really close friends in the league who have, you know, asked for trades, or, I mean, Dame's the latest example. I mean, he's really tight with Dame, you know, tried to form a super team. That's not how DeMar DeRozan is wired. When he is signed to a team or drafted by a team, in the Raptors case, and even when he was traded against, you know, his wishes, or, you know, he didn't sign up for that one. He committed to San Antonio. When he does that, he's in, man. He's old school. He's loyal. And his biggest point to me was like, I don't like jumping ship on things. So this is not great right now. And the way I'm wired is I want to try to fix this. And that's not just smoke. I mean, that's who he is. Now, yes, the Bulls can pay him more than any other team, so there's an undercurrent to those comments of that. And he is just content and happy here. And look, he's got a great situation. But the biggest thing to me was kind of the old school loyalty that's shown through that interview. You know, as for is it the right thing for the Bulls to do? I mean, he keeps their floor pretty high, because that dude has saved a lot of people's butts over the last 3 years. He's a very elite scorer and player, and he's a great representative for your franchise, great character guy, great leader. The young players love him. But, you know, there's a certain segment of that loud fan segment of the fan base that thinks the Bulls should just blow it all up. So I personally think he will be back, and I don't think it's an awful move. I mean, obviously it depends partly on the price tag. But yeah, he certainly raises your floor if he's back.
So we'll let you go, Casey. I'm just curious. You start 4-15 on the season. We know what the disaster that was. They battled back. If they get in the playoffs, is that a success? If they win tonight, is that a success? Match last year's accomplishment? Do they have to get in? Do they have to win? And I don't want to say a series, because that would be dumb. A playoff game? I mean, what constitutes success?
To me, what would have constituted success is a top six seed and automatic playoff berth, because that's kind of, you know, what we heard as the goal, is to be a playoff team. And the only way you're a playoff team, I mean, to me is if you're, I mean, the seventh and eighth seeds, yes, they're playoff teams, but to me, top six, you just lock it in. That's kind of the improvement that they were looking for. I mean, they're gonna say it's a success because of the amount of injuries they had to overcome, and also overcoming that 5-14 start. I've actually enjoyed Billy Donovan's take on that 5-14 start, because he's like, you can't. I mean, yes, you should give us credit for overcoming it, but you can't give us credit too much because we started 5-14.
Thank you, thank you, Billy Donovan.
He's right.
So he's the one who gets it.
Great, Casey. Yep. Thank you, buddy. We'll be watching.
All right, guys.
Thanks, Casey.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you,
good buddy.
Good stuff.
That's not Casey
taking credit for creating adversity.
I think you got to mention that they did start that way when we talk about how we figure out what's going to happen. And obviously, KC's answer was correct, which is they already missed that boat.
They already did, and that's bad for them. So tonight, the Bulls, obviously right here on the Score, the only local broadcast of the game. On 670 Score in the Chicagoland area on the free Odyssey app. And right now, you can be the sixth caller to the Score's contest line. We've got two cup tickets to give away. Wow. See the Marlins on Friday at Wrigley Field. Tim Anderson, Jake Berger, and the Marlins against the Cubs. 312-540-0670. Win a pair of tickets to see the Cubs Friday. You call right now. Be the sixth caller.
And don't get upset if Berger's not there. Someone said he's on the IL.
Oh, man.
I know. Ruins everything.
Go anyway.
And we're going to have two more pairs of Cubs tickets to give away today. It's giveaway day. And we've got some Aerosmith tickets, too. So make sure you stay tuned. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio. 6-7 The Score.
Probably Trey. I would assume Trey. But, I mean, I probably changed throughout the game, too, you know, based on minutes, how they match up, and then if anybody gets going, my ego will probably take over and I'll try to guard them. So, yeah, just try to make it tough for them. Really good, playing out of the pick and roll, lobs, spray out for threes. And then if he gets going, obviously he has really deep range. So, for him, just trying to limit free throws, limit floaters, limit the easy stuff for him. Make him try to work for it.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the Score. That is the voice of Alex Caruso, and he's going to defend whoever gets hot. Probably start on Trey.
Makes sense.
Unless maybe Ayo is able to go, but we don't know about that.
Caruso, whoever he guards, is going to be a long night for that person. Ideally, he is going to be, I think, another member of the all-defensive team in the NBA.
Who's the all-defensive player?
That's a good question.
Wemby by a mile, right?
Probably
with
so.
With all the blocks.
Probably so. Alex Caruso is interesting, though, because he is the guy that does a little bit of everything. He'll be a big part of the reason why if the Bulls win tonight. You expect it's because Caruso will have done something to impact the game defensively, hit a big shot, made a big pass. He's always in the middle of everything. He's the guy that you really like in these big moments. That's why he was a part of the pool of players that they looked at the U.S. Olympic team.
Yep.
And yesterday they announced the top 11. Now, nobody's going to argue with that 11.
Well, that's the problem. He didn't argue with it.
And I know he said that he understood. He gets down to 11. They have one roster spot left. Maybe he's still eligible. Maybe they're looking for something later. They'll know
Kawhi.
That.
I think Kawhi's the last roster spot already for
They're
it.
Waiting for him?
No, I think it's already kind of been reported that Kawhi Leonard is the last roster spot for Team USA.
Okay, so that's a 12K. He is the 12th guy. So here it is. LeBron, Steph, Durant, Embiid, Tatum, Kawhi, Booker, Drew Holiday, AD, Anthony Edwards, Bam, and Tyrese Halliburton. Not really any room there for chemistry. A guy creates chemistry, Mr. Defense. I mean, there's no shame in Alex Caruso. It was great that he was even considered, but I think he understands what's going on there. That's quite a team.
Yeah.
No arguments there.
Yeah.
That Caruso role is kind of like now, like Drew Holiday
for
their team. Yeah.
Right. Is he the grit guy?
Yes.
Drew Holiday is the grit guy in that team.
That's exactly right. That's what he is.
I don't know who else would. Halliburton, he might be
pretty.
He's a little grimy. But everyone else, you're talking about getting them all to agree is interesting. Nobody is opting out. And you'll notice, let me look at that again. No James Harden. What? The beard.
Yeah.
Is not going to Paris. Interesting. So that's Team USA. And the big controversy, not controversy, there's some question as to whether the women's team will include Caitlin Clark. I don't know how you leave the country without her. I think it was Lisa Leslie that mentioned that. I'm with her. I'm agreeing with Lisa Leslie on this one. You can't have an Olympic team without Caitlin Clark. Do it for the basketball reasons, but also just merchandise. Imagine that Olympic jersey, how fast that will sell. God bless America. Capitalism rules.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with that concept. I don't think, I just wonder how it's going over. And I wonder how the WNBA players and the other players on that team and whoever they feel they've got to cut to make sure that there's a college star, and not just a college star, but someone's going to bring tons of attention to it. I mean, I for me, there should be gratefulness that you got somebody bringing that kind of fandom to your sport, that many eyes on your game. That's also a delirious comment by me, because the way people operate isn't that, oh, this is great, I got more eyes on me. The way they operate is, I'm better than her.
Well, maybe so, but that I found it interesting, the video of the Indiana Fever players watching the announcement of Caitlin Clark as the number one pick the other night. They were ecstatic. They were celebrating. They were hugging. They were like, okay, we're gonna be part of this, part of something special. 2 million people watched the WNBA draft. 2 million people. They sold tickets for the WNBA draft this year. I don't think it was to see who the Mercury were going to take.
And look at the jersey sales. Through the roof.
I was online because I want to take my daughter to a Sky game, and it was before the draft. I was watching it, and I was trying to look for the Fever game. I think it was around, the cheapest ticket was, the highest one was $123. Now, I checked after the Angel Reese and all that stuff, it's like $200 for the cheapest seat.
It is, $220, I think they said yesterday.
You should call it in, man. Just let people know who you are, what you do, and get the free tickets on the floor.
Do you recognize my voice?
Do you know who I am?
Do you know how bad I could make you look?
Do you know what audio I can play right
exactly.
now?
Exactly. Exactly. That's a dangerous man there, Brandon Fryer.
That's exactly right.
Yes. Here. But it is a real thing. You know, 220, the inflation implies interest, which implies
the arrival. It's Caitlinomics, right? Isn't that what they call it?
It is Caitlinomics.
There's really a name for it, which is the price of the ticket and the number of people that are spending on merchandise and all of the impact financially.
A lot of these multipliers are nonsense, but one of them assigned, I think, $82.7 million in economic impact.
Yeah.
I think on the Caitlin Clark effect on the state of Iowa.
I mean, listen, I'm sure there were a lot of jerseys. We talked about that. How many Prada outfits were sold?
Right.
Have you thought about that?
Do you see what that was worth?
It was crazy.
Like $17,000.
I mean, what?
More power to her. Oh, whatever she can do.
More power to everyone.
More power to everyone. It's a fantastic movement. It's something that is cool to be a part of. And here in Chicago, the Sky, I think, regardless of how it was graded, I think the draft brought the Sky back one step closer to a little bit more relevance in the city in terms of the sports landscape.
Yeah. I mean, listen, God bless her. I think that's great. I'm worried about Canada, though. Is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander the star of the Canadian? He's the best Canadian basketball player since probably Bill Wennington.
Probably so.
No, I'm just making a nod.
Hey, well, listen, Bill and Michael Jordan combined for 57 points one night.
That's right. Yeah, just ask. but it's pretty funny when you think about that guy. I mean, if you're putting together an MVP list, where does he fit? Either first or second for the impact he's had
this
year.
Top three.
I mean, you know, Jokic probably is going to win it.
SGA's on the list.
But he's definitely second, first or second.
A lot to like there.
That high. Ahead of Luka, who is also high on that list. That's your top three, those three guys.
I wouldn't argue with that.
No, I don't think you can. I don't think I'm going to let you.
But it's time to talk to Ozzy.
All right, we got to get to our guy. Ozzy Guillen joins us next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
He's a tick away.
Mully and Haw, mornings on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Take them with you wherever you go on the free Odyssey app.
It is funny, and it's so absurd.
Where's the fly swatter?
Miss something on the show? Use the Rewind feature within the Odyssey app or subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you both. I start work at 5:30 in the morning, and you guys are always there to entertain me throughout my morning.
Mully and Haw, mornings 5:30 to 10, always live on the free Odyssey app.
Hey, it's David Haw for FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of 670 The Score. The NBA play-in tournament gives teams a chance to play their way into the postseason, the real postseason. So it only seems right that new customers on FanDuel can play their way into $150. Just place any $5 bet and you'll get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose, to use on the NBA playoffs. So if you like the Bulls, they are favored tonight, but three-point favorites. If you like the over because there's not going to be a lick of defense being played, go with that. What about DeMar DeRozan? You figure he's going to have a good game. What about the first basket score? That's always fun. Vooch might be a good choice there. Just go to FanDuel.com/score, S-C-O-R-E, to get started. Make your choices, bet a little, win a lot. FanDuel, the official sports betting partner of the NBA. Must be 21 and older and present in Illinois. First online real money wager only. $10 first.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.